I don't know if you got the group text on the Discord. Nobody was able to make it today. I know, that's normal for these sorts of games. I mean, everybody has their own schedules and things, but it's... it's a little bit of a bummer that they couldn't come, you know? I mean, I got so much ready for today, and we were gonna have to wait another 2 weeks before I can use any of it. Like, we had a beholder encounter, a chase scene, I was even planning on getting us to the next town today. But alright, I guess it's fine. If you're here, that means you wanted to play, yeah? I think that's what that means. You usually knock in a much different way if it's for, other reasons. I don't mind just running a one-shot with just you. Not at all, honestly. You're one of my favorite people to play with. I really mean that. I'm not joshing you, I promise. Okay. You can use your character from the main campaign if you want. Darthax the Paladin fits into most of these little games. It's perfectly fine to just use him. So this'll be a level 7 adventure. Level 7 adventure for one person. Do I have any material ready to go for one person? Hold on one second. I guess I could use this. Oh, that would work. Yeah. Oh, can you use this? Oh, and this? Wait. That's perfect. I'm a genius. Sorry. I'm just really excited for this. I love the main campaign a lot, but I rarely get to just, pull random material together for it, so this is really cool. I'm gonna use a character I've been planning on introducing in the main game for a while, okay? Okay. Oh, and, take inspiration for being here. I really appreciate you sitting here. Even if it's just the two of us. I know you don't really have to, but I would have, been really sad if I hadn't gotten to go at all, so... yeah. Okay. Let's get started then. You ready to go? Okay.
He begins strapped in a dungeon to a wall, having grown tired from the mere boredom of being stuck here. Darthrax had been captured by a powerful dragon after attempting to steal its treasure, left without even their clothes on their back. Disappointingly, you hadn't even managed to make it to the treasure before being captured like this. Your armor, gone. Your underclothes, gone. Your sun sword attained from the castle Ravenloft, gone. Nothing is left, and here you are, manacled to the wall. Every sound of a rat outside of your dungeon prison is a sound of mild hope, and then disappointment once you see the furry friend who actually arrived. It's been... gods, you've lost count of how long it's been since you were captured and locked here. That's disappointing and depressing, considering the phases of the sun and moon from the single window leading outside, you would assume it's been at least a week, maybe? That's not particularly long, but it feels like it had been much, much longer. But one day, you realize there's a much heavier sound outside of the prison's door. It couldn't be a rat, and certainly no dragon. The kobolds that serve it are too light to be making that noise. This has to be something else entirely. And in a moment that makes your heart flutter with hope, someone appears at the dungeon's window and looks inside the small prison. A bright golden eye with a gentle demeanor, one that seems ever more beautiful because of the circumstances you find yourself in.
"Hello,"
whispers the certain someone, waiting only a moment before scanning the room with their eye.
Roll me a constitution save to make sure that they can hear your voice. You are parched beyond belief, of course. 12 is a success.
The elf quietly takes note of the weakened voice, nodding before deciding to move ahead. You hear the mild sound of a spell as the door clicks, their long ears making it evident that you weren't seeing things. Long red hair and pretty golden eyes array you. Her beauty, rather striking, all things considered. Clad in a long cloth that seems like it shouldn't hold where it is. She's a lot more sturdy and built around the chest and waist than you'd assume for an elf. She adorns a flower crown and a concerned look on her face, immediately hurrying over to the bones of the other people who had been left down here.
"Oh, goddess above,"
the elf says, her voice carrying towards your ears like sweet honeysuckle and marigold on the wind.
"What happened to you? You look so hurt,"
she says, waiting only a moment before immediately searching through her bag, pulling out a piece of food and force-feeding it to you. She takes a satchel of water and pours some into your mouth, taking a towel and wiping you down. She shushes you quietly as she does.
"There we go,"
she murmurs, continuing to make sure that she takes care of you. Wiping the dirt away from your face, the elf moves down and leans over your face. Lucky for you, she's rather soft in the one place that would matter here.
"There. I was so worried as soon as I saw someone down here. Those nasty kobolds must want to eat anything that they could get the chance to. I'm surprised you're still alive, frankly. Who are you?"
She asks the question gently. An angel among devils, and a full breath among wheezes. Patting the side of your face as you answer, she nods.
"Darthrax. Well, I'm Shaggy. I'm from the nearby elven village. I'm their local... well, you humans might call it a witch, but they'd call it their medicine woman. I would call myself a wizard."
Smiling and moving to your manacles, you can't help but notice her eyes graze down your body and stare for a moment. She seems vaguely interested before turning red and immediately shifting her gaze back upwards, nodding to herself.
"So, your... they took your equipment, I see. That's a shame."
popping open your manacles. The welts on your ankles give way to mild pain as she helps you finally stand. Her eyes drift down again before she shakes her head, bright pink as she realizes she might need to help you with that situation.
Hold on one moment, Darthrax.
Pulling out a set of rags from her bag, she hands them over. Clambering one leg after the other into them, you manage to cover yourself enough to be acceptable.
There we go.
She claps her hands softly, recognizing that you're in a much better place than when she came in.
We'll get out of here quickly. I actually came in here to find the dragon's treasure, but looks like I found something else. Just as valuable, of course.
Jerry smiles, patting your shoulder and walking carefully over the bone she stepped over on the way in, humming to herself. The humming stops.
Go ahead and roll me a perception check. Ooh, 19. You hear the same thing that Jerry does. The sound of something light treading against the ground, about as carefully as you two.
Throwing you a dagger from her bag, Jerry immediately turns to you and nods.
Be safe. I'll handle one if you handle the other.
Since you have caught the kobolds trying to sneak up on you...
Roll me initiative. We'll treat the kobolds as the surprise condition, and they won't get to roll just yet. Jerry got a 22, and you got an 8. Not like it much matter.
Swinging around the corner, Jerry looks down the hallway to see two little red lizard men trying to sneak their way down to catch you two out. Swinging her staff around, she fires off a gout of cold towards one of the kobolds, making a spell attack.
A 24? Wow, she's rolling really well. You know, she's my personal favorite character I've made, so I'm happy she's doing well. The blast of cold hits the kobold and does 8 cold damage. His body snap freezes and cracks, destroyed in an instant. Your turn then. Okay, you attack the kobold, dashing down the hallway. You flip the dagger in your hand, and... 19? Oh, much more than enough.
Striking the kobold in the throat, you manage to drive the blade deep into it and wait until the lifeblood of the little lizard hits your hand. You wait a further moment for the wriggles to stop, before standing up, wiping your hand off on the rags.
Excellent job,
says Jerry. The two kobolds having been defeated, she sounds genuinely excited for you, reaching over to pat you on the back. Her hand ends up a little lower than she meant to, Jerry startling back and turning bright pink again, even up to her ears this time.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's inappropriate. I shouldn't have.
Reassuring her, Darthrax heads to the nearby chest and grabs his things out of it. Armor, sun sword, and under things come out. Looking over your shoulder, Jerry asks,
"Oh, what an interesting blade. Where did you get such a thing?"
So, what do you say? Explaining the entire ordeal, Strahd von Zarovich, or the domains of the Dread seems like not exactly something you'd have the time for.
Long story short, vampire shit? Okay, wonderful.
Standing up after removing your rags, Jerry hasn't said, decided to stare at the wall this time. She's gotten very tired of accidentally witnessing your humanity on display, and has decided to view bricks instead. It takes approximately 5 or so minutes to redon your underclothes to the point that the elf is willing to look back, her golden eyes re-meeting your form as she takes a solid, deep breath out.
Oh, you have your things back. Good. Darthrax the Mighty looked a little less mighty in some rags from a young elf's bag.
She snickers a bit before realizing that she might be being rude.
I mean, I'm not that young. I'm over 200, actually. Sorry.
Jerry corrects herself. Darthrax reassures her again, beginning to head down through the door that the kobold came in. Jerry follows after, immediately realizing where he's going.
Wait, you're not going after the treasure still? That's not a good idea.
She rapidly follows after, trying desperately to get you to come with her outside instead.
We don't want to get captured again. That would be horrible, and you just got out of your binds. You need rest, please.
Darthrax's nobility eventually gets her.
Jerry deciding quietly to murmur, "You didn't want the treasure at all, did you? It's because of the nearby villages you're going after the dragon."
Finding you out quickly, Jerry nods with the pink coming over her cheeks once again for a different reason.
"Well then, I can't leave you alone on this. It'd be horrible of me to do anything else besides follow you down into hell, especially if you're doing this for us."
The two come upon several more kobolds as they're walking and talking, all of them standing on a large mining outpost composed of wood. Normally, it'd be used to mine from the walls and set ladders against, but instead, they're using it to cook various meats that they've probably gathered from the nearby peoples. Holding a finger up for a second, Jerry seems to have come up with an idea to handle these creatures without a moment's waste. Blasting a purple ray towards the wood of the outpost, the creatures all fall deep into the mine and disappear into the dark of the ground. There's a loud crash as they do, the elf looking proud of herself.
"If you can't fight something directly, you should instead try to get rid of it with your intelligence. That's what I have always been told, anyways. Fighting rats with your fists isn't very smart, after all,"
Jerry says, lilting along. Darthrax leads the way down into the mine, both of them eventually coming upon something that Darthrax hadn't expected to actually see. "Thank the goddess, you've found the treasure hoard. Gold upon gold, platinum upon platinum. It's wonderful. Gorgeous down here, everything shining onto the walls. There's ancient treasures upon newer things from stolen from tithes upon the townspeople in here. And one more thing. A sleeping dragon. A massive, scaly red beast with fangs and claws and all sorts of other things. Its massive wings are clad around it like a cloak as it sleeps."
Roll me a stealth check. That'd be, with disadvantage.
heavy armor. Almost forgot.
Oh no, that's a 7.
As you clamber around the corner expectantly, what you don't expect is to see its bright yellow eye gaze upon you, ready for combat.
Roll initiative. Oh, you got an 8. Jerry got a 15. And the dragon will be starting us off with a 19. No lair actions or anything. That'd be a bit much for a one-person one-shot.
Turning to face you, it blasts out a massive burst of flame in an attempt to vaporize you before you can even attempt to fight back. On her reaction, Jerry decides to put up a shimmering white shield that protects both of you from the full force of the flames. And then, on her actual turn, another blast of cold strikes the dragon and deals
16 damage? Oh, damage is doubled against red dragons. They have vulnerability to cold. Oh, that's right. Your turn, Durthrax. Okay. Rushing down, you go to strike with your sun sword, rolling a 13. Disappointing. And a miss. The light blade going to strike the dragon and refracting off of its scales as you strike a point just too thick to actually manage to strike its stringy flesh. Dragon's turn. He swipes his claws toward you and strikes you across your chest, rolling a 24 and dealing 18 slashing damage. Ouch!
Jerry rushes towards and blasts the dragon with cold again,
rolling a 19 on the spell attack and dealing another 18 damage this time. Your turn. You're going to ready an action? Yeah, sure, that's totally fine. Jerry is going to be grappled by the dragon on its turn. It rolled a 17, and she rolled... Oh, critical failure.
Grabbed up into the dragon's hands, she immediately calls out,
Darthrax!
Out into the room.
Would you like to use your readied action?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
You rush forward and feint a strike for the dragon and instead strike the floor. Getting an idea from the kobolds earlier, you flare your sun sword.
I'll need a roll to see what happens here. A natural 20? Oh, wow. Exactly what Darthrax needed.
Almost as if fate was on your side, the floor collapses underneath the dragon, taking a good chunk of the gold with it. The dragon is buried mid-air by gold and rocks as it falls into the pit.
And a 19? Oh, good to see.
You grab Jerry out of the air by the hand and prevent her from falling with it. Pulling her back onto the floor, she pants and sits up as Darthrex falls into her lap from the claw wound. Jerry quietly perking up as she realizes where you've landed. About to push you off, she thinks for a second and then pats your head.
Good job, Sir Knight. Good job.
She says quietly, ready to head back to her village. With you, of course. You deserve an award of some kind.
You wanna keep going? You remember the last time we did that, right? Okay, don't say I didn't warn you.
Waking up in an elven hut, You seem to be in a leaf-made bed with a sling of net over it. Probably brought there as a guest for the sake of your good deeds.
And, IRL, I'm gonna need you to take off your pants again. Yep, because I'm busy, I'm just gonna use my foot instead, okay? Uh-huh. Mm. There we go. Okay.
You wake up to the sound of someone clambering into your little bed, clearly trying to get your attention. It's actually Sherry. She is completely naked. Like I said earlier, her chest and bottom are way more rounded than a normal elf's, and she is already clearly ready to go between her legs, absolutely sobbing.
"You're all mine,"
she says, kissing up and down your face.
"Oh, yes. Oh, mine. Sir Knight, I want to have your baby. Is that okay?"
"Is that okay with you?" Jerry smiles and nods, immediately beginning to take the length of your shaft fully inside herself.
"Oh, oh, goddess. Oh. Oh, I need you. I need you for the rest of time. Oh, pretty. Please. Pretty, please." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Goddess. Goddess. We are going to make such beautiful babies. Yes. Oh, Sir Knight. Take me. I'm yours. To try again in a moment, if that's okay.
Sherry wraps her arms around your neck and quietly sits there, hanging off of you happily.
All right, that's the end of the one shot. Oh, you're really enjoying the foot, aren't you? Little foot freak. Yeah, you like feeling my soles on your shaft? Yeah. Oh, I can feel how hard you are. My soft feet stroking you. You came let me pull back. You really are a little foot freak, huh? Oh, hey guys, I thought you weren't coming.